Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. People accept the fact of only one speed of light and only one moon around the earth, but only one way to God? Say that, and you're ignored at best, hated at worst. The claims of Jesus to be the only way to eternal life force us to decide, do I go with my instincts or do I go with Jesus? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer brings more of a two-message series exploring the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak again on God, yes, but why Jesus? As Jesus declares himself to be the only way to God.
I want you to know today, there is no question as important as the one of how do you get to the Father? When you're in the rubble of the World Trade Center, there is only one important question, and that is, how do you get to the Father? How do you rest assured that that's your destiny? Or if you're in a space shuttle and it explodes, the only question for you is, am I prepared to go to the Father? Do I know the way? That's the only issue that's important. And so Thomas says, how do we know the way? And Jesus makes the I am statement. He says, I am the way, the way. Old Testament readers would have understood that because it says in the Old Testament, teach me thy way, O Lord. You've had the experience of being in a town and you ask somebody the way. 9 times out of 10, what is it that they say? I'm new here too. I can't believe that there are so many new here twos in the towns where I've been in. How wonderful it is to find somebody who says, I live here and I know the way. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus is the beginning of the journey. Here's an alcoholic who does not have to find his own way to God in the sense that he doesn't have to make his own way to God. He doesn't have to climb some kind of a ladder and say, Lord, I want to get to you. No, the way is already there. Jesus is the beginning of the journey. Jesus is the end of the journey because he knows the Father. And because of that, we come to him with confidence. There was a guide in a desert. And somebody said, a tourist said, we're going to walk with you, but where is the path? And the guide said, I am the path. Wow, how wonderful to know that you're with somebody who knows where he is going. Now, if you're not interested in where you're going, any path will get you there. And did you know that truth, for all of its power, has one limitation? There's only one way to be right, but many ways to be wrong. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Because believe me, there are many false paths out there, and I don't believe that there has been an era in history when there have been as many wrong paths as there are today in this whole business of spirituality. Could I throw this in at no extra cost? People are into spirituality today. What they aren't into is righteousness and holiness. They're just into spirituality. I want to be spiritual, but I don't want to be religious. Do you want to be holy? No, I don't want to be holy. I just want to be spiritual. So Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Secondly, he says, I am the truth. I am the truth. We all know people who have taught us the truth. What we don't know, many people, or we've never met anyone who embodies the truth. My parents said, this is the truth. My parents did not say, we are the truth. You know, when you think about somebody teaching mathematics or chemistry, maybe their character isn't too important for teaching those disciplines, but what a conundrum. Boy, there's a word I haven't used for a while. What an awful experience it would be to have to put up with somebody who is lecturing on the benefits of purity who himself is immoral, or someone who is talking about the beauty of generosity and yet he is stingy. Jesus had consistency because he is truth. Could I give you 3 characteristics of truth very quickly? I know this gets a little technical, but I know you're going to follow me. First of all, truth has universality. It has universality. 2 + 2 = 4. You say that's a Western idea. When you get out to the East in Eastern religions, Why, you discover that 2 + 2 isn't 4. Oh, yes, it is 4. You know, when you meet somebody who says, I have this opinion or that opinion, you always take off your glasses if you're wearing glasses. And you always smile. Remember, always to smile. And you tell them this: you are entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own truth. If you come across some truth, it applies to me as well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus is the truth, it applies in Japan and Morocco and India and all over the world. It has universality. Secondly, it has consistency. It's not possible to believe a contradiction. Mormonism and Christianity logically may both be wrong, but logically they cannot both be right because they contradict one another. If all the religions of the world were equally true, they would all be equally false because they contradict each other at every important point. Years ago, I was in 2 Buddhist temples here in Chicago. The Buddhist priest told us that in Buddhism, there is no God. We said, well, when you come to pray, who are you talking to? And he said, we're talking to ourselves because there is no God. I want you to know today that the religions of the world disagree at fundamental issues. It is consistency. Only Alice in Wonderland could believe as many as, what was it, 6 contradictions before breakfast? I always say, if you can believe 2 before lunch, you need more help than we're set up to give you. Nobody can believe a contradiction. I had a professor who used to say that a contradiction is a Charlie horse between the ears. Nobody can believe a contradiction. Truth has universality, consistency. It has objectivity. It exists outside of us. It's out there outside of us, you see, and it's to be discovered. You can't say, what would we say to an astronomer who said, well, you know, I believe that I have to look within to see whether there are stars without. Like our postmoderns say. Oh, you know, truth resides with me. I have a friend who teaches in a secular school, and because he teaches comparative religions, is able to dialogue with students about Christ. And he said to one student, what would you say to Jesus if at the end of time you would be judged by him? Now listen to his answer. It is thoroughly postmodern. He said, I would tell him that he has no authority over me because I didn't believe in him. Now think that through. What he's saying is that if I don't believe in you, it rests with me. Since I didn't believe in you, you have no authority over me. And Jesus would say, oh yeah? Or something like that. Oh yeah? Truth has objectivity. It doesn't matter whether you believed it. It doesn't matter whether or not an astronomer believes a particular star is there. The issue is whether or not it is there. Truth has objectivity. Jesus said, I am the truth. Wow. I want you to know today that Satan's whole kingdom is based on lies. Jesus is based on the truth. And then he says the life. Physical life, yes. Standing at the tomb of Lazarus, he gave one of his great I ams. I am the resurrection and the life. He was able to breathe life into a dead body. But spiritual life, eternal life, undoubtedly takes prominence in this phrase. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It's life to the max. It's life to the max. It's life that is free of guilt. It is a life that is able to take care of regrets because of forgiveness. It is a life that is connected with God. It is that abundant life. And Jesus said, I am also the life. Without that way, there is no going. Without that truth, there is no knowing. And without that life, there is no living. There are many people who say, well, you know, we're living it up. Well, if you knew what you were doing, and if they understood it, and if they see the long-term consequences, they should know right well that actually they are living it down. They're living it down because the end thereof are the ways of death. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then Jesus makes this astounding statement. He says, no man You say, well, oh, this doesn't apply when I was at the Parliament of World Religions that I told you about in the last message. There were people who said, well, you know, Jesus is for the West. When you get to the East, it's Krishna. When you get to who knows where, it's somebody else. No, 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 no man comes to the Father but by me. And there are reasons why no man can get to the Father except by Christ. There's nobody else out there who meets the Father's qualifications. And then Jesus continues to astound us. Verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on you know him and have seen him. I love what Philip says. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. Just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Frequently I quote Augustine, O Lord, it is said that no man can see thee and live. May I die that I might behold thy face. Let me see the Father. And then Jesus makes a statement that should cause a shiver to go down our spines if we are aware and fully conscious. He says, have I been so long time with you, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Wow, it was God who came to that Jewish peasant home. It was God who was tempted in the desert. It was God who died on the cross. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, what are you going to do with this Jesus? I say to you, skeptics, what are you going to do with this Jesus? Nobody has made claims like this. They are beyond belief. Look at Hitler. He made some astounding claims about the Third Reich that would last 1,000 years, only lasted 12, but he predicted it would last 1,000 years. And yet Hitler never said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know, my friend, I've often pondered the words of Jesus, he who has seen me has seen the Father. I don't claim to understand the mystery of the incarnation. You can ask so many questions about it, and it is beyond our ability to grasp. But I'll tell you this, I do delight in the opportunity of meditating on it, because in the incarnation rests our salvation. I've preached this series of messages knowing that we live in a culture where the statement, I believe in God, means essentially nothing, because there are so many gods out there. But why is it that we believe that Jesus leads us to the only true God? We need to be able to answer those kinds of questions, and that's why I've preached this series of messages, God, yes, but why Jesus? You need these messages, your children need these messages, because we need to be able to defend Christ in an age of tolerance and in an age of confusion. God, yes, but why Jesus?
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of God, yes, but why Jesus? A look at the Son of God as the only way to God. Next time, our series continues. Our two-message series on God, Yes, But Why Jesus is available on CD, and it's yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.